Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Deeper Waters podcast. My name is Brandon, and today with me is special guest, Pastor Johnny Olson.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, he is the youth pastor up in Staples Alliance Church. Yeah. And yeah, anything else cool? Hang out with kids, too?
Hang out with kids, yeah.
You have a newborn.
Yep, we have a newborn. Cedric is about a month old now. And
that's such an awesome name.
Yeah,
it means... I didn't know. I forgot his name was Cedric.
Yeah, that so it means so cool. Cherished, and then his middle name is Jonathan, so it means gift of God, so cherished gift of God.
Nice.
And so, yeah, and then we've got a four-year-old daughter, Violetta Rose, and...
She's fun. I met her in Washington. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a hoot.
She's great.
And she's become even more sassy. It's nice. Wonderful.
Well, she probably takes after you.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit, as well as her mom. So, I've got a ponytail.
Cool.
Yeah.
For those of you not watching,
yeah,
it's you see it, like, yeah, that
it's a ponytail. That's about as cool as I get.
Nice. For some people, that's not very cool. For others, it's like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I should probably come up with another cool thing about me.
Video games?
I do play video games, yep.
Nice.
I play quite a bit of League of Legends and World of Warcraft and Age of Empires and Baldur's Gate 3. And
were you excited about, like, when they did the OG map for Fortnite? Were you on that?
No. Oh. No, I played, like, two rounds of Fortnite, took, like, second and third place. I was like, yep, and I'm good, and I have not played it since then.
You didn't even try and win?
I mean...
You know, like, second place is, like, the first loser.
It's true, but how high have you gotten?
I've won.
Sweet. Second time? Third time? First time?
Bro, I'm bad at those games. I'm sure someone carried me.
I played a lot of PUBG, and so, like, getting into this, it's like, right? So, I wasn't a big fan of Fortnite. I never got the building mechanic down.
I feel like that's how you win. You have to be good at building.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not, you get second or third place.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm super thankful for Johnny to be on and talk with us about this past week's message, and just really excited for what he shares from an outside perspective. I think it's always good to have someone who's not in it with us to share some wisdom from an outside perspective, and yeah, so we can learn and grow. Just a reminder that this podcast is uploaded every Wednesday, and you can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, kind of wherever you get podcasts, or if you want to watch on YouTube, so... Yeah, that's cool. Also, shout out to our sponsor, the CCC Cafe. And if you're the first person to say this word, joy, you get a free small drink. So, yeah, go do that.
It's a pretty sick deal.
It's a sweet deal.
Yeah.
And
sing a song?
If you sang them joy to the world?
Yeah. Do you think they'd upgrade them to a medium?
You can ask.
I don't know. The worst thing to say is no, right?
Right. It's true. You're already getting the small.
I mean, why not? So come prepared to sing.
Yeah, come prepared to sing. Just tell Danae, I'll sing you a song in that game medium. Maybe she'll do it. I don't know.
I don't know.
Try it. I love it. Great. And this is some announcements for you. This coming up. Wednesday night hang after Awana. Tonight, we'll be hitting up Culver's later. So come hang out with that. That will be also back the next week on the 20th. So come hang out for that. Christmas party this Sunday, the 17th. Come with your best and ugliest Christmas sweater and come ready for games. Bring a gift that's like $5 or less that for the gifts exchange here, something you're going to want to take home and ready to have some fun. It'll be a really good time. Really excited about it. Last announcement is mission trips. If you have not signed up for mission trips yet, I really encourage you to do that. I don't know if you like mission trips.
We did one this last summer. Went to Twin Cities and Vision with our students, and it was life-changing for most of our students, and it was a great experience. I love mission trips. If you want to draw closer to God, if you want to grow your faith and experience new cultures, there's really not a better way in the church culture to do it.
Perfect. I couldn't have said it better. So, yeah, if you're an upperclassman, come to the DR with us. If you are in high school at all, come to Cleveland with us, and then if you're in middle school, do what Johnny and his church didn't go to the Twin Cities and hang out in the Rochester area and serve there. But again, if you're looking a way to grow closer to God and learning to serve and what missions looks like, really encourage you to come onto this trip. Sweet. The song we're listening to this week is Noel by Chris Tomlin. I feel like it's just a classic Christmas song.
Yeah, I'm going to be real honest. I don't listen to like the radio ever. Mm-hmm. I've got like my audiobook going on when I'm commuting and stuff. And so... when I saw this on the notes, I had to quickly jump on Spotify and be like, what is this? And I only made it through like 30 seconds before I got like pulled into something else. So I don't actually know this song.
Great. Well, we're going to be singing it this weekend, so listen to it. Be an opportunity to worship and just think about the words as we're heading into this Christmas season and get to remember what Jesus has done for us.
Yeah.
So, awesome. All right, let's dive into it. And this month, we're asking the same question to all of our guests. But what is your favorite holiday tradition?
Yeah. So as a kid growing up, going to Grandma and Grandpa's, it would be where all of our cousins went, all of our aunts and uncles.
Was this in Wisconsin?
This is in Wisconsin. Yeah, so I grew up in Wisconsin. So it'd be, I have 32 cousins. And
that's why it was your favorite. That's
awesome. We'd all get together, we'd all hang out. And
where are you at? Like,
I'm at the top.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, I'm on the oldest side.
That's why it was your favorite. Yeah. You ran the show.
Sure.
The most important person there.
Yeah, so I've got two older cousins than me, so I'm number three.
Oh, you're number three.
Yeah,
okay.
So not quite top dog. Yeah, but I really enjoyed, like, as a kid, that was Christmas. Like, I didn't know what Christmas was, so we went out actually on Christmas Eve to my grandma and grandpa's, and then we hung out, and then we go home, and we wake up, we do breakfast at home, our own Christmas gifts, and then we head back out to grandma and grandpa's for the rest of the day. As an adult, my grandparents are 10 hours away, and they're not hosting anymore like they used to, because all my cousins are getting married and having their own kids and that stuff. So for us now, we're kind of in this weird, like, establishing our own family traditions and kind of what does that look like, and with Christmas Eve services and some of that stuff, and the blending with my wife's family and some of that. So we're still in the process of figuring that out, but it's been exciting to do stockings Christmas Eve and kind of just explore a couple different things and that. So yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, that's really fun. So if you are someone like Johnny and you have Christmas with 30 other cousins, like, you should let us know.
It's super fun.
Yeah. Sure, your experience. Maybe your experience is like, I have Christmas with 30 other cousins and it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super extroverted. So my cousin, who is like super introverted, she'd like be on her like iPod and like in her book and in the corner, and just like, you don't talk to her.
So if that's you, let us know so we can pray for you.
As Christmas comes up. Yeah.
Sweet. So this past Sunday, we talked about the humility of Jesus and why, and I'm just going to pose it kind of just a really broad question. Why is it important? Why is it good to be humble like Jesus?
Well, I think, you know, one of the first things you can think of is, what does it look like to be prideful, right? Mm. And we all know those people in our life that are prideful, right? I mean, you might be that person in your life, right? But we all know those people that you look and go like, my goodness, you can't tell a story without them having a better story, or you can't do something without them doing it better. And so I think the first thought is, how does that make you feel when you're around that person, right? Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk about humility, we should probably talk a little bit about pride being the opposite of humility. And so I think as we look at the importance of being humble like Jesus, well, what is it like to be prideful? And then we get to use Jesus as an example of what it looks like to be humble.
Right.
And I mean, we see that in, I mean, if you read through the Gospels, you see that with the Pharisees. They were prideful people and kind of the enemies of the gospel message, right? They're prideful. And then we get to see Jesus' humility. And, you know, I haven't listened to your message, but I'm assuming you're going to be talking about humility of the cross.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so Jesus being so humble that he died willingly for you and I. Like, that baffles me. Like, we weren't even born yet. And Jesus is like, man, you guys, I'm dying for you.
And in a place where, like, we talked about the week before of, you know, Jesus is God, right? Like, I think usually we think about Jesus, we think about the 33 years he was on earth, but he was there who created all things, and he's going to be there at the end and reign above all things. And, like he deserved to come onto this earth and everyone just bow down to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he deserved that. It was his right to have that. And he said, no, I'm going to die and be the sacrifice that we all need.
Yeah.
Talk about like humility to step off his throne.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, stepping down from the throne and putting aside the crown and putting on the peasant's clothes and being part of, you know, there's lots of fables. I've got a four-year-old. I read lots of fairy tales and fables, and there's a lot of them that talk about the king becoming a peasant, you know, and walking amongst his people, and Jesus did that. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus is that example of that, and the humility that comes with that, of being willing to say, I deserve all the praise, I deserve all the honor, I deserve all the glory, but I'm going to put pause on that for a moment because there's something I need to deal with that only I can deal with, and it's better for me to do it this way.
Yeah, and we looked at Philippians 2 this past week, and I just keep on coming back to that of like, seeing others is important and more important than ourselves. Like, that's really like doing nothing out of selfish ambition and seeing others is more important than ourselves. That really comes down to like the base of like definition. I'm going to give a definition of humility.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what I'm going to look to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't even imagine like even Jesus being God, him like out of his own selfishness, which obviously, there doesn't show selfishness.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't want to endure any kind of suffering. Like, I never want to endure pain.
No, you don't like it when you smash your finger.
No, that's not my favorite thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, we go out of like great lengths to avoid suffering, discomfort, even. Like, I would even bring it back, like discomfort.
Yeah,
like, I mean, we chose the comfortable couches here rather than sitting in the folding chairs, right?
These beauties.
If you can't see, like, they are this wonderful mustard yellow and burgundy checkered recliners. And
these were here when the church was built.
I think they were here before the church was built. But, I mean, we chose comfort. Like, even not even talking about suffering, let's talk about discomfort, right? Let's bring it back even further. I mean, we go to great lengths to avoid discomfort in our lives, especially in the Western American
culture. Especially in our culture. Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, drive-through. I mean, I just went to Taco Bell the other day. If I didn't want to interact with a single human being, I didn't need to.
And sometimes our culture builds it to be that way. Like the Taco Bell closest to the church right by Target, like you don't even, they like, you can't.
Yeah.
Talk to a cashier.
Yeah.
Like, you have to order on the little iPad thing they have in the lobby.
And, you know, I kind of love it because I get to go super quick. Like, I can navigate that iPad as quickly as anybody else, right? Like, I like my Taco Bell. But on the flip side, I miss out on having those conversations. And, I mean, again, extroverted, I really enjoy those conversations. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy asking the cashier what their favorite thing on the menu is, because sometimes I get to learn, like, I get to try something new of going, oh, I've been wanting to try that, but let's go for that. And so we go out of great lengths to not be in discomfort. And here Jesus stepped down from his throne in perfect comfort with the Father and said, I gotta go do something real quick. This is broken and it's not working. And I need to suffer. I need to be discomforted so that I can be there and I can fix what's broken here.
That's something we talked about, and to give you context of our church, we just finished an all-church series that, like, we talked about youth groups, we talked about main service and life groups, and the first message was stepping out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like, spiritually, like, looking at what's our next step? Like, what are some ways that Jesus can stretch us and we can be stretched by God, and stepping out of our comfort zone, and humility has to be part of that.
It does.
Right? And I'm reading, the interns and I, Samuel Project students and I, we're reading through Bonhoeffer's Life Together.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've read that.
I love Bonhoeffer. He's like, if I could ever be an evangelist, like, Bonhoeffer is like what I want to do. But he's also got a super sweet German accent, right?
I don't know if I've just read his stuff.
Oh, you need to jump on and you need to listen to one of his messages. It'll change your, like, he's got a super awesome accent.
I gotta check it out.
Yes, awesome. But yeah, it's a great book.
And in the first chapter, it talks about community, right? And it talks about how, like, the foundation has to be like these two things. One, it's Jesus. Everything has to be founded on Jesus. And the second thing is the forgiveness for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if we aren't choosing to be uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
choosing to forgive one another, we are being selfish.
And we were holding on to the pride of, like, no, they need to, no, they should be sorry.
Yeah. My youth pastor growing up, he made the comment, and it stuck with me, of the most Christ-like thing you can do is forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jesus did on the cross, was he brought forgiveness. Now, it was out of an act of love, but he said the most Christ-like action that you could ever do is offering forgiveness. And for me, that's just stuck. Like, every time I'm confronted with a moment of forgiving and not forgiving, that, like, interjects itself with, like, the most Christ-like action I can do is forgiving somebody. And it comes out of humility. You have to be okay with saying what you did to me was wrong, and I let go of it. Like, if you're not willing to humble yourself to, I mean, really, forgiveness is humbling yourself of, I'm no longer going to hold this charge against you. I'm going to humble myself and say, let's just forget about this and let's move on. I mean, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it's really just saying, hey, I understand the sin that has been committed, but I see you as a person.
Yeah.
And looking past it and being like we're good, and to be humbly being said, like,
yeah,
let's move forward.
In our house, so like I said, we've got a 4-year-old, and so one of the things as a parent is wanting to do a good job as a parent, right? Mm-hmm. I think every parent comes into that. I've never come across a parent that doesn't want to be a good parent. And every parent's got their own lens of what that looks like, right? But one of the things that my wife and I, we want our daughter to be one that asks for forgiveness and offers forgiveness. And so in our home, we no longer allow saying it's fine. When somebody says, I'm sorry, we can't say it's fine. We have to say, I forgive you.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
Just that simple twisting of, like, actually taking the time to say, I forgive you, like, it changes it. The first time we did it, it was really, like, uncomfortable. It was really uncomfortable to be like, I forgive you, like, especially like when my wife forgot to, like, pick up milk from the gas station. Like, it's not that big of a deal, right? It's not this catastrophic thing that we would maybe use the words I forgive you for, but I chose to say, no, I forgive you for this simple slip of the mind, right? Well, my wife was working. She works as a dietitian in a hospital, and she had an interaction with the staff, and the staff said, I'm sorry, and my wife said, I forgive you, and the staff member reacted, and she's like, well, that's uncomfortable. Like, you know? And I was like, well, then why didn't you say you're sorry if you weren't wanting to be forgiven?
Yeah.
Right? And so often I think we default to, oh, I'm sorry. I've got a lot of Canadian friends. They don't have swear jars, they have sorry jars. Right? But, like, we treat saying sorry like that. We're not actually expecting forgiveness. And that's not Christ-like. That's not the model that Christ laid for us. Christ says, no, you repent and forgiveness is yours. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the exchange.
And even that itself, like, that's... You have to be humble to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Let's just be like, hey, you know what? I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the right. I'm in the wrong. Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think about, too, like, true humility, right? And forgiveness definitely does this.
Yeah.
Like, true humility points others to Jesus. Like, the story you just shared about your wife, like...
It's uncomfortable.
Like, she noticed.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's a great encouragement that you can... all as listeners take on, like, when someone says I'm sorry to you, say I forgive you.
It's so simple, and we've seen such profound interchanges with it of stories like that, and we're starting to see that in our youth group of trying to help our youth kids to say that too. And again, when we say it's okay, we dismiss the humility of somebody else who came and said I'm sorry. We say, oh, it's fine, no big deal. You're dismissing their act of coming to you to restore the relationship. Because that's what forgiveness is a restoration, right? And so when we say it's okay or it's no big deal, it's really dismissive. Then when something else happens, we wonder why they're not coming to us to apologize. Well, you dismissed them last time. Why would they want to go through that experience again? They humbled themselves. They swallowed their pride. They came. They said, I'm sorry. And then you said, not a big deal.
That reminded me of a time. I was working at camp, and there was an older gentleman who'd been, like, throughout the years, on and off, been helping out at the camp, and got really close, and he had snapped at me a few times the day before, and he came to me, and he's, like, almost in tears, and he apologizes, and, oh, no, no worries, it's all good, like, we're all good, and the camp director's right next to me, he goes, no, and you need to forgive.
Yeah.
I said, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And so I did, and it turns out there was more going on.
Yeah.
And in his own personal life, but it was a, like, I vividly remember that feeling of, like, oh, no, like,
yeah,
he is coming to ask for forgiveness and being like, hey, like, I did something, like,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
and
let's have some freedom.
Yeah, and let's restore that relationship, right?
Yeah.
And when we dismiss it, we don't actually get that restoration.
Yeah.
When we forgive it, we give opportunity for that restoration. And so, you know, as we humble ourselves, you know, I'm looking at this, you know, what are ways that we can point people back to Jesus with humility? Again, I mean, I don't think this is where we intended this conversation to go, but forgiveness, like that,
yeah,
that, like, again, that's the biggest, like, Christ-like act that we can do is forgiving one another. And we get to do it in the body of Christ. We get to do it in the world. We get to, I mean, you see people all over TikTok. You see people all over social media who, man, they're angry.
Yeah.
They are angry people. And, man, to be able to go, I forgive you. I forgive you. Or swallowing your pride and going to those angry people. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that my actions, my words damaged our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Man. What do they do with that?
Yeah. I mean, even Jesus tells us, like, hey, let's love our enemies.
Yeah.
Like, forgive those who persecute us. And
I love what Paul writes in Romans. And it's my favorite thing, because, and this is great, especially when talking with students who are, man, they've just got that person that they really don't like. Right?
Yeah.
And Paul tells us that if we want to hurt our enemies, we should shower them with kindness. Because it's like heaping burning coals on their head. Like, I want you to think about that. Like, Paul is writing and he's saying, like, I know you've got your enemies and you really want to get them. You want to heap, like, burning coals on top of their head? Shower them in kindness. Like, shower them in kindness. And they're like, wait, what? Like, and I mean that. Like, Paul is trying to draw us this idea that when we're kind to those, and forgiveness is a kindness. Like, it's a pretty big kindness.
And then it's also pointing back to Philippians of, like, seeing others as more important than yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Yeah, coming back to, like, it's a key character trait of showing love,
mm-hmm.
and trying to be like Jesus, of having this humility of, like, that's what it's about. Because if we're about ourselves, then we're not going to, obviously, not walk in humility. If we're about ourselves, then we're going to be pointing to other things that's not of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to wrap up, and I'm really thankful for you coming on. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I mean, I think we went down a point that I don't think either one of us were expecting. But I don't know. My biggest encouragement for students is, and if you can figure out a way to apologize and to offer forgiveness, you are going to be decades ahead of others. I think it was mid-20s before I got good at apologizing. And it was only because I was really put in a lot of positions to apologize, because I was knuckleheaded and prideful. I was doing things and just kind of paving my own way in ministry, and I got really good at saying I'm sorry. And, man, if you can figure that out, if you can humble yourself to say you're sorry, you know, offer that forgiveness now when you're in high school, and you're going to set yourself up for some really awesome, awesome experiences with God.
Yeah, man, I'm going back to what I finished the message off with this past Sunday, but, like, my prayer for you guys listening is that you guys walk in humility in such a way that glorifies only God, and that God would do big things with that, and I think he will. I think he will honor that. Any next steps in your personal life when it comes to humility?
You know,
or anything else, right? Anything else.
Yeah, as we were talking about this, it does make me kind of want to sit down and go, okay, are there any relationships that I've got tension with in my life that I need to go, all right, where do I need to humble myself in these relationships? You know, just taking a self-diagnosis and taking, you know, 5 minutes going, all right, where are the people that frustrate me? okay, how do I humble myself in these situations? Do I need to ask for forgiveness? There may be some areas where I need to ask for forgiveness. Or do I need to offer forgiveness? And so that's going to be, I mean, as we kind of talk about that, that's what's going through my brain right now. Like, I need to take like 5 minutes this week and just like sit down and go, okay, where am I at with some of those? And then follow up with that.
Great. That's a great next step. Mine for this week is, I feel like God's really placing this on my heart, and it's to make my prayer time in the morning longer.
Ooh.
I have it, and I feel like it needs to be longer.
Yeah.
I need to be more intentional. So
about 5-6 hours?
Probably not that long. I have a hard time staying still, so this will be a good challenge for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, make it
prayer longer. Runs.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
I already walk long ways.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're ever on the Douglas Trail, you can say hi to me. I'm not just talking to myself. anyway, thank you guys so much for listening this week. If you ever have any questions about what we said, please reach out. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to answer any questions or just listen to what you have to say. Just know that we love you guys. We care about you. With all that being said, go and be more like Jesus.